Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's the Kevin Hur Clam Bake, as only we can do it.
Bring your own clams.
Exactly. Cheapo.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Kevin Hur, nervous again today. As the Michael Vick era gets underway in Steeler football.
No. Not era. Michael Vick four games.
You really believe that, don't
Michael
you?
Vick four games. Listen, I made a major, major fashion mistake today. And I am...
What makes today different? Where's Wakeman? I want to hear Wakeman's
take. And listen, this is so bad that I got a message from the left coast from our friend Sarah Bartlett when I explained to her, because usually Baltimore Pittsburgh game days were a lot of trash talk that went on in the studio when she was here. Now it's via text, but I made a fashion faux pas of wearing a purple shirt today. This is not a good start to a Thursday night matchup with the Ravens.
I'm sure it'll affect the outcome.
Listen, you remember the line from Bull Durham, don't you? If it's because you're wearing the socks, you're not wearing the socks, don't mess with a streak. Actually, I should have Wakeman in that. I think she's memorized the entire movie.
Wakeman memorizes a lot of movies.
It's kind of frightening if you think about it.
Pretty impressive. So you really believe that what you wear affects the outcome of a game? Kevin? What's he doing?
We're checking out the line is don't mess with a streak. That would be the cable version. The non-movie version. Yes. Yeah.
Well, if anybody knows fashion, it's Wakeman. There's no question about that.
Well, Bob, first of all, Bob, great to have you back.
Glad to be here, Steve.
Imagine how I feel.
I mean, what was I thinking this morning wearing a purple shirt? I mean, come on. This is
Kevin.
Bad. This is very bad.
Kevin, do you really believe this stuff?
Oh, I do. I do believe in superstition stuff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I do.
Steve, he's actually serious.
What? Yeah, I know he is. So, and serious, no kidding. All kidding aside, why?
It seems like I did have a pair of lucky socks when I played football. Now, I did wash them, but it was the same socks you would wear, and we did not have mandatory sock. We didn't have to match our sock colors. I would never buy a new baseball glove. I use the same baseball glove.
That explains a few things.
I use the same baseball glove for 10 years in Little League.
But I can accept that because there's a comfort level to playing with a baseball glove. So that I can accept. That's not superstition. That's comfort.
Steve, did you hear what he said, though? He spent 10 years in Little League.
Yeah, I heard it.
I never said I was a great player.
No. But there is a big game tonight, obviously. Great rivalry game.
Yeah. The Steelers and the Ravens are tonight. But do you really believe that by wearing a purple shirt, that's bad?
Okay, let me explain to you how this started. And all kidding aside, because I was joking about the Little League thing. I did have a pair of socks in football, though, that I wore, but that was a comfort issue. It happened when when I first got married, my wife decided, I had everything laying out. It was Steelers San Diego, and in the AFC Championship game, and you probably remember the year. I don't, Steve, but anyway. I had all my stuff laying out. I had blankets out. I had my jersey on. It's toward the end of the game, and she decided she wanted to clean up the room, so starts folding up the blankets. About that time, the Chargers score.
Yeah, okay.
Some say coincidence.
I blamed her since the day it happened. So now, when there's a game on, she doesn't touch anything in the room that I've laid out. Which is, we've come to an agreement that works out really well. So that was the beginning of you know, certain rituals before games.
And he also believes in Ouija boards and that.
I would never have crab dip or crab cakes. On Baltimore game days.
Okay.
It's just wrong.
And you believe that this works.
Listen, the last Super Bowl win, I went out to Brewers Outlet and bought Iron City beer just to make sure that I had everything covered.
All right. Okay. When the Steelers played the Ravens in the playoff game last year, I did not see a minute of the game. It was the same day as a basketball game, and I was on the road, so I was traveling. Okay. I didn't see it.
Right.
Did you follow all your, quote, superstitions to the T?
No, I didn't. I did not. I did not have the blankets out. I did not have the entire family dressed in Steeler paraphernalia. Like, when my son was little, he thought it was fun to wear the foam I-beam hat. Now it's not. Now he's not finding the fun in it anymore. So,
do you still make him wear it?
Well, I didn't say I didn't stop him from wearing it. I just said it wasn't any fun for him anymore.
Let me tell you, can I give you just a slice of advice here?
I know the advice you're going to give me, and I still don't believe you.
Oh, no, I'm not going to. Hey, your son no longer wearing the foam I-beam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that.
And being
that.
Uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, I don't get that.
All right. Okay. A psychologist would tell you that would be a step toward normal.
There was, we would alternate. It would be the steel helmet when they were on defense, the I-beam when they were on offense.
Thank goodness he stopped.
Oh, and you know what else I did not have? And Bob, you'll appreciate this better than anybody. I did not have my terrible towel out for that Ravens game last year.
That explains everything.
That was the big one. That's the one I pin it on. It was the first playoff game that I did not have my terrible towel out. I don't know why. It's not going to happen again. I can guarantee you that.
Has someone alerted the Steelers to how you're able to predict the outcomes of games by not having a terrible towel?
I can count on one hand, or one finger, how many times I've missed having a terrible towel, and I know what it cost. It's not going to happen again.
Think of how much money the players lost in bonuses and things like that.
I felt extremely guilty.
Yeah. Man, don't let the word out too much, or Big Ben will be very disappointed. So, Steve, the Phillies won today, 3-0. They moved the game up because of some adverse weather. The weather here
might not be as bad on Saturday as they said it was going to be.
They said it's going to be kind of dampy, dreary.
Not here?
Yeah.
Here? No, they're talking about maybe some stuff in the morning.
Oh.
Maybe a little bit in the first quarter, and then dry the rest of the game.
Although it's going to be a little on the cool side, I understand.
Yes, it will be. Yes, it will be. For whatever reason, it's going to be cool. It's cool today. And so this is, you know, that's, so it's changed. And again, this is not a joke. I'm being completely honest. It appears that the model, the European model, is the one that has been consistently having better success of predicting these storms. And that's the one now everybody's leaning toward as to the track of the storm.
Yeah, AccuWeather has moved it a little further off the coast than it was earlier this morning. And you're right, Steve, 50 degrees right now for the temperature on Saturday. That's your high temperature, and only about a quarter inch of rain. And it's called, it says rain tapering off. I think the bigger issue of games is probably going to be a little, any games further south.
Oh yeah, no. Closer to the coast,
right? Right. Well,
games further, like you're going to be in Virginia. You'll get some rain. No big deal.
Yeah, they're called right now. The Lexington forecast is 58, with periods of rain and a thunderstorm and winds gusting to 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, you'll survive.
No, I'm fine with that. I just don't like thunderstorms. Thunderstorms and football don't mix.
Now, Kevin, down at VMI on the Bucknell game on Saturday, do you guys actually broadcast? Do they let you into their press box, you and Birdsong?
I'm not worried about being inside or outside. This is not a concern for me physically getting wet. Oh, well, I will, because I'll have to be outside because I do halftime and postgame. So I will have to have an umbrella with me. I'm more concerned about the lightning delays that can happen in those thunderstorms. I don't know how do coaches handle that with their team? You're in the middle of a game in the second quarter even, and then a lightning delay happens. I mean that's not easy to get going.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But same for both sides. So
true.
It's not,
that's very true.
Remember, it's the same for both sides. Again, my father had an old saying. Okay, do not worry about things you cannot control. Kevin, back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line a few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
So if last year's playoff game was so important to you, why did you not follow Kevin Herr protocol before the game?
I don't know. I honestly don't remember why I didn't do that. It was terrible.
I didn't think you were going to win the game anyway. Your players weren't as good.
That has nothing to do with it. You may think it has everything to do with it, but it's not. It's all in the ritual. It's all in the routine. Now, I know you don't have any routines or anything. I know you don't have any rituals. I know that. Bob, is there anything you ever do before your favorite team plays? I mean, is there something you wear all the time?
At home, I crack a beer.
Okay.
That's just because I'm thirsty.
But that has nothing to do with the game.
Nothing to do with
right.
the outcome of the game.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that have certain rituals.
I have one. I have a Danville Ironman hat for high school, a Bloom University hat for going to see the Huskies, and a Penn State hat to go see the Lions.
Are you talking about the knit Danville Ironman hat?
Yeah.
It's time to get a new one of those too, Bob. You know that.
It's 30-some years
old. Yeah.
But anyway, I wear the hat of the team I'm supporting, but that's not
superstitious. Yeah,
that's just,
I don't know about that.
That's just to let the other side know I'm there.
Yeah, that you can call it what you want, but there's a little superstition, ritualistic moment there.
That's about it. No, I don't really have any superstitions.
For instance, when Steve calls a Penn State game, he's always wearing a Penn State shirt. That's a ritual.
That's because that's all he owns.
That's what I wear what the coaches wear. It's just whatever they're wearing that day.
Well, but that's a routine. That's a routine. You may not want to admit it, but that might be a routine or ritual that you do.
You know what we could do? We could ask We could ask people to call in and tell us what their superstitions are before a game.
I'm doing the talk show tonight. I'm wearing a Susquehanna Valley Country Club shirt. Sorry.
Yeah, but that's not a game.
That's
not a game. That's not the same thing. And I'm sure the Susquehanna Valley Country Club thanks you.
I've worn turtlenecks to game. Depends on what the weather is.
But it's a Penn State turtleneck, isn't it?
No.
Or there's a Penn State shirt underneath it.
No.
No. Steve.
No, there isn't. No offense, but no. I don't really.
Steve, let me ask you this question.
No, especially when you're on the road and you're traveling on the bus, you do wear the gear that they're wearing because you're on the bus with them.
Yeah. And it helps walking into the stadium. It'll get you in, too, if you're walking wearing what everybody else is. Steve, Penn State games have you broadcast? Couple hundred?
Play by play.
Yeah.
Saturday will be, was it the fifth game of the year?
Yes. Fourth.
It'll be the fifth.
This Saturday. Yeah, it'll be
the fifth.
Number five.
Play by play 192. And then all told, it would be 279.
And in those 279 games, how many of those were affected? The outcome was affected by what you wore. I was just curious about that number.
Zero.
Exactly.
If you believe it was, it was.
Yeah. I don't think anything I've ever worn or not worn has affected the outcome of any game.
Ever.
But, you know, it's one of those great things that is those kinds of superstitions. It just gets people more into it and... When their team loses, they can blame it on something other than the fact that their team lost.
I know people that have a tailgate ritual that they will only bring certain foods to a tailgate.
Yeah.
They're not allergic to.
Things with peanuts in them, things like that. Yeah. Sure. Hey, Steve, there was a big announcement.
That's my ritual. I won't eat it, so the heck with it. Yeah.
Steve, we can talk about this at some point today. Love to get your take on what Penn State Athletic Director Barber was saying about stadium renovations at Beaver Stadium.
Yeah, I was actually going to talk significantly about that today. And we'll have more time to do it because we're going to have a guest, one of the beat writers from Army on today as well.
Oh, good.
But these are decisions that have to be made at this time. It's Beaver Stadium is an interesting structure. Because it is not as simple as saying it's a 55-year-old building. It's been there for 55 years, but it's not a total 55-year-old building. When we say it's an erector set, it is that. Because there are so many independent structures that make up this, quote, building called a stadium. So it's going to bring with it some very serious reflection as to what to do. Populous has been hired. And this is the old HOK group led by Scott Radisic, where they've done Camden Yards, Kyle Field, Baylor Stadium, Amon Carter Stadium, several baseball parks besides Camden Yards that they've done. Heinz Field they did.
Kind of know what they're doing then.
I mean, and they've always done that old new look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's a new place, but it looks like it's got some personality and character to it. And Scott, of course, played football here, was an All-American here, played in the NFL for a dozen years. But he went for architectural engineering. He's considered one of the best.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So Lawrence is going to be talking about government issues at the federal and state level.
Sounds like it.
What is it, an 80-part series? Okay.
800.
Okay. And even then, you only scratch the surface. All right, our high school football previews. And then we're going to get Sal to come in at 4:06, talk about Army football. We're going to start out with Milton at Shamokin. 7 o'clock will be the game that will take place. Milton at Shamokin will be 6:30 the airtime, 7 o'clock the kick. Steve Williams joins us. He'll call the game along with Brett Michaels. Steve, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, it's good to be back with you guys.
All right, so how would you evaluate last Friday night's game?
Last Friday night's game, Lewisburg came to play, and they put a whooping on the Black Panthers for sure. They looked very sharp. Their execution was crisp. Their tackling was crisp. They knew what they were getting into. They shut down Brandon Stokes like they knew they had to, threw the ball well. They really looked like they were in late season form.
Are you seeing teams put 9 in the box against him?
Yes, absolutely. They're really loading up the box because they know that Milton's going to give the ball to Stokes. I mean, he's got 615 yards rushing already. You know, they've already rushed for over 1,100 yards. So they know that's what they're going to do. Passing game is it's really just not there yet.
Where is Milton defensively right now, Steve?
Well, they've got a good group of linebackers. They did not play all that well last week. There were times when the Lewisburg receivers were open by 10 yards. Lots of blown coverage in the secondary. One of the things that they need to do is, get a shoulder on some of those guys to slow them down off the line, especially if you get speedy receivers like Lewisburg has. Now, Shamokin doesn't have that passing game. They're a lot like the Black Panthers in that they run more than they pass. They have a little bit more in the passing yard department, but as far as their game plan, they pretty much keep the ball on the ground with Preston Burns getting the majority of carries.
What's the balance on this team between seniors playing versus underclassmen?
Well, the best players right now are definitely the seniors. They have been getting a lot of new numbers in recently. They've got a bunch of freshmen on the team, and they started 2 weeks ago starting to introduce some new players to get them some playing time into the game. That's kind of the way George has always done it. He starts off, brings those kids along. He'll bring them in. Pretty soon he'll start installing some new plays for them. I mean, with the Delaware Wing Tee, there's the 10 to 12 plays that they continue to run. We're starting to see some new plays and some new faces.
Steve, thanks so much. Good luck with the broadcast tomorrow night. You'll be at Brett Michaels at 6:30 with a 7 o'clock kick on 1380 WMLP with Milton at Shamokin. Steve, thanks again.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Shikellamy broke into the win column last week. The Chief, Dave Ritchie, joins us along with the voice of Shikellamy football and the Grand Marshal of the Homecoming Parade, Kevin Herr. You'll hear it on WKOK. Dave, Kevin, why did they win last week? What worked?
You want me to start, Kevin?
Yeah, go ahead, David.
Well, basically, everything clicked for them. The offensive line did a nice job on defense. Again, the line did a good job. Probably, I would say they've had their best effort overall as special teams, offense, defense, everything seemed to gel for them. And I think I told you last week when I called you that they had a really good week of practice. And so they went into that game positive, and it worked out for them.
You know, the other side of that, on the defensive side, they did have an injury in Sean Turber. They lost him for offense and defense in the second half. And I thought sophomore Tate Krankowski really took to safety quite well, understood the position, knew what he needed to do, had actually 2.5 picks. Because the one he actually had for about a half a step and dropped, one went for a pick six. I think that was a big, big turning. His interceptions stopped drives when Mifflinburg was actually moving the ball, Chief.
Well, Kevin, he's a better safety, I believe, than he is a corner because he can freelance. And that's, that he uses athletic ability there and he did a great job. You're right. I think that was one of the best morale-boosting or confidence-boosting things that could happen. It's the same Sean dislocated his shoulder, but it worked out well for Tate. He got some really good experience and had success at that safety spot.
What is the mix on this team? I asked Steve this. I'll ask the two of you this. What's the mix on this team between percentage of seniors playing versus percentage of underclassmen?
Oh, well, I would say it's probably 80-20 and 80% being underclassmen. It's a very young team.
So what does that tell you about the development of this team and how are they developing?
Well, right now, all those we have one freshman that starts, and he's no longer a freshman in my eyes because Nunez had a great game. He's playing like he's a junior now. And all those sophomores that are starting, you know, I think I'm going to call them juniors now. They just seem to, you know, are realizing what this football game is about and what they have to do. They have to do their jobs. And I think mentally, okay, they're starting to feel more comfortable out on the field. And they say, hey, we belong here. And that's something when you have younger kids coming up from the junior high ranks, that's the hardest thing for them to accomplish. I know coming from 9th to 10th grade myself, I was in awe until about the 4th or 5th game, and then all of a sudden I said, hey, I can play with these guys. And I think that's helped trickle me a lot.
They have a very talented sophomore class, yeah. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I remember the 1930s when I did that, felt the same way. So,
you know, one thing I'll add to what Dave...
What's the challenge? Yeah, okay, go ahead, add whatever.
Sorry, one thing I wanted to add to what Dave was saying, this is how talented some of the younger younger classmen are. They have seen success all the way through with some undefeated seasons, winning records all the way through. But most importantly, there's a freshman starting in Joey Folk that'll get a lot of playing time because of Turber being out. And when you can make the move from a running back in a very deep Shikellamy running back set, make the move as a freshman to be a starter, that shows you what the coaches think about what he can do.
What is the thumbnail on Montoursville? What do they bring to the table that the fans going tomorrow night should be looking for?
Well, they bring an excellent back in Bartoski. This is his fourth year, and he's 140 pounds, of just what I would call dynamite. You give him an inch, and he'll score a touchdown for you. Bryce Mussina, from last year to this year, I'm a mathematics teacher, and I know it's impossible to have 300%. All right, it's just one of those things. But his game has improved 300% from last year's game against Lewisburg to the game against Lewisburg in the District 4 playoffs. He became a legitimate quarterback, throws the ball very well, has a strong arm, good leadership. And they also have, and they always have, Montoursville always has great linemen. And that's something that is going to be a real challenge for us.
Kevin?
The only thing that I would add to that is I think that this is going to be a unique defense that Shikellamy is going to go up against with a 4-3. And Chief, this is something I'm going to talk to you about tomorrow.
It's unique
in the blocking scheme.
Stop. It's a 4-3. Okay, come on.
But you don't see an awful lot of 4-3 in this area. That's what I think is going to be. This is why I think it's going to be a little bit challenging because the blocking schemes are a little bit different, and it's something they have. I'm not sure if they've seen since the last time they played Montoursville.
I thought they were playing a wide tackle six there for a second. Okay. All right. That's different.
Kevin, can I interject something?
Sure.
I don't care what they have. It's either an odd front or an even front. And Shikellamy has seen a lot of even fronts this year, so that the blocking assignments really don't have to be taken.
Yeah, they aren't that different.
Yeah, and so that's something that that we'll see what happens with them.
Yeah, what happens is that if you're going to play a 3-4, how many times, Kevin, do you see them take the end and creep them up to the edge?
Oh, they'll do that a lot. They'll do that in this 4-3 as well. They'll take the outside backers and bring them up.
Okay. That's a 4-3. Okay.
Montoursville is missing their leading tackler. He will not play this game. And, you know, but listen, Coach Kiefer, I think he has a mold up there, and he just puts a player in that mold. If somebody gets hurt, and the kid comes in and does just as good a job. So.
All right, 7 o'clock with a 6:30 airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Dave, thank you, bud.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good week, all right?
You have a great week, too, Dave.
Thanks.
To the best, Dave Ritchie. Always an absolute pleasure. Eagle 107 will be Sealands Grove playing at Berwick. Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt have the call beginning at 6 with a 7 o'clock airtime. And, Pat, Sealands Grove continues to be on a roll. Give us a little insight into this week's game and where Sealands Grove is right now.
Thanks, Steve. Once again, it's great to check in with you here weekly as we move to week 5. It's unbelievable. And, boy, Steve, this is one where you step back and you appreciate what's about to happen when you have Berwick playing Sealands Grove. Of course, Sealands Grove on the road again to take on the Bulldogs. And with all that history and tradition, there's a lot to take in terms of this game. Sealands Grove at 4-0, so they're on a roll. Going to take on the Berwick Bulldogs, who lost last week to a very good Wyoming Valley West team, a game that they only put up 137 yards total offense. They got up 6-0, but then, boy, West just rolled 34-6 win. Now, Sealands Grove on the other end was leading at halftime 38-7, went on to win 52-7, an easy win where Javon Betts, the senior halfback for Sealands Grove, went for 269 yards, 3 touchdowns on just 9 carries. Steve, now he has 13 carries for 350 yards. He's averaging almost 27 yards a touch. So, obviously, that's a big key for Sealands Grove going into tonight's or tomorrow night's game against the Bulldogs. A lot to get excited about Sealands Grove. They're spreading the ball all around. Their sophomore quarterback has 40 completions on 64 attempts for 564 yards and 6 touchdowns. But, you know, probably to a bigger degree, it's going to be about the defense for Sealands Grove. Only giving up 30 points all season. That's less than 8 points per game. And they're going to see a much faster, quicker, bigger, stronger team in Berwick tomorrow night, and that's going to end up being the big test for Sealands Grove. How do they manage that? They're making some adjustments up front with that offensive line. The quarterback for Sealands Grove was hit way too much, and talking to coaching staff about that, that's obviously the adjustment. So there's a lot to take a look at that way. But the big picture, I think, Steve, tomorrow night's game, it's going to be about Sealands Grove defense. Can they continue the dominance that they've shown here in 2015 against the bigger, faster Berwick Bulldog team is trying to get back in the win column under longtime head coach George Curry, who sits at 398 wins as a Berwick coach, looking to go to 399. But, of course, Sealands Grove looking to offset that. So see what happens. It's going to be exciting. Again, I appreciate you having me on, and we look forward to a good game between Sealands Grove and the Berwick Bulldogs tomorrow night on Eagle 107.
Yep, and that'll be a Crispin Field tomorrow night against Berwick. Looking forward to that. Eagle 107 at 6 with a 7 o'clock kick tomorrow night. And on the Valley 100.9, it'll be Central Mountain at Lewisburg. They'll be playing at Christy Mathewson Stadium tomorrow night at the Bucknell campus. Matt Cotrillo has the call with Justin Michaels beginning at 6:30 on 100.9 The Valley. Matt, welcome. Great to have you with us. They won big over Milton last week. When Lewisburg rolls, how do they do it?
In a big way, as you saw, Steve, a 33-0 shutout of Milton, exactly what the doctor ordered after a tough loss against Mount Carmel, a game where Trent Gower had 5 touchdowns total, 4 passing, 1 rushing. They did it without running back Dom Farinato, who will be out again this week. They also lost lineman Andrew Shadleski during the game. He will not play this week as well. So you do that without 2 seniors, and that was certainly very impressive the way they took the ball and ran with it. Literally, and they stopped Milton's running game with Brandon Stokes. They held him in check, did a nice job with that. We talked about how run defense was a big Achilles heel of this team through the first 3 weeks, and they certainly proved to us that they are very capable of stopping the run, and that's something they're going to need to do this week. That is another bread and butter of this Central Mountain offense, and with the homecoming crowd on their side, big week for all the seniors, I think they're going to be ready to play.
What did it show you about the mental makeup of this team after a disappointing loss to Mount Carmel? And it was disappointing to then bounce back the way they did last week.
Well, it's very interesting you mentioned that, Steve, because I was wondering that same thing, because me and my broadcast partner, Justin, I thought that the mental makeup of this team was really good, you know, considering what they went through in the first 2 weeks of the season with Shikellamy and Montoursville. Then we see that thumping against Mount Carmel, and we hope that maybe that was just the rock bottom this team kind of needed to kind of get the little fire under themselves and go out and play the way they are capable of doing for the rest of the season. And I think you saw that. I was in practice yesterday and talking to some of the guys, and they learned their lesson from that Mount Carmel game. They flat out said, you know, we
we maybe were a little too overconfident going into that game, and now they kind of learned that lesson, and now they can move on from it. And they put a great showing against Milton, and they have a chance to do that again against Central Mountain. These next 3 weeks that they have coming up here, all at home too, by the way, except for Central Columbia coming up in 2 weeks. You know, they're going to be favored in. They're going to be pretty much heavy favorites. So it's going to be up to them to stay unoverconfident and to go out and play the way they're supposed to, take care of their business before they have a big test with Southern Columbia coming up at the end of the month on a Thursday night. So it's going to be critical for them to learn from that Mount Carmel game and carry through the rest of the season. So I think their mental makeup is very good.
Matt, what will Central Mountain bring in that right away the fans will notice and Lewisburg needs to be concerned with?
Well, they're actually going to be without their starting quarterback, Justin Neff, who brings a lot to the table. He's dangerous in space. You know, he's got a pretty good arm, a little bit small in size, but he's a threat either way, a dual threat type of quarterback. And that could have given the Green Dragons a little bit of issues, but he's not going to play. So it's just going to be up to Hunter Weaver this week at fullback for the Wildcats at Central Mountain. So if they, I would say, probably load it up in the box, take him out of the game, make them throw the ball with their backup running back, or with their backup quarterback, excuse me, I think they'll be able to pull out the win there on the defensive side. Really, Hunter Weaver is going to be the bread and butter of the offense without their quarterback, Justin Neff, this week.
Matt, have a great broadcast tomorrow night. We look forward to it.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Matt Cotrillo with us. He'll have the call on 100.9 The Valley. Central Mountain at Lewisburg at Christy Mathewson Stadium. On The Valley, 7 o'clock will be the kick and 6:30 the airtime. On WMLP tomorrow night, Steve Williams and Brett Michaels have the call. 6:30 the pregame, 7 o'clock the kickoff with Milton looking to bounce back at Shamokin. On Eagle 107 should be a great matchup at Crispin Field as Sealands Grove unbeaten on the year plays at Berwick. You'll hear the game on Eagle 107 beginning at 6 with the pregame, 7 o'clock the kickoff with Pat O'Brien and Ryan Brandt. And the game we'll have for you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Shikellamy back home looking to make it 2 in a row when they take on Montoursville. Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie with the call. 6:30 the pregame, 7 o'clock the kickoff here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll have for you Sal Interdonato, beat writer who covers the Army football team at 4:06. A timeout. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We'll talk about renovating Beaver Stadium as opposed to building a new stadium. We'll talk about that in the final half hour of the show. Sal Interdonato, Times Union, will be joining us to talk about the about Army. And he did say to me at one point, he says, you know, he says, a couple of players might be in awe. And I said, Sal, I don't want my Army in awe of anything. So
that's a good point.
I just don't. But it's they're really something else. You know, everything that they go through, and they still want to play football, and I think that's just terrific. The one area they've really struggled is they can't beat Navy, and nobody can explain that. So. But from the Times Herald Record, Sal Interdonato is going to join us in the next half hour. Kevin will also explain later why the 4-3 is the single, use the word unique, they play the unique 4-3 defense.
A unique 4-3.
Okay, unique is if they're the only ones that do it.
I don't know of any, I can't think of anybody in this area that plays 4-3.
Oh, boy, Bob. Is Bob still there?
Here.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Bob.
Hey, so Steve, how's it going? Listen, I don't know the intricacies of the 4-3, but...
good.
I know a lot of guys line up and cross the line from the other team, and they go at it, but that's all been lost on me. I'm interested to hear what an Army beat writer has to say about the cadets coming into Penn State.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be good. Sal's good. I like Sal a lot, and he'll be on the show, and Kevin will be taking notes.
Yes, I will.
Right, because yes.
Do we let Kevin ask any questions about the 4-3 defense of the Army writer, though? That's the question.